The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
That's 770 KMPD.
6 after 8, KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. It is open phone time here on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Ooh, just looking at my email, and more of my rechargeable flashlights are coming. You know me, I'm a flashlight aficionado. In other words, okay, flashlight whore. Okay, I love that. The one I've fixated on over the last few months has been made by, Southern Oregon Company actually made them. I don't know if they're still making them or not, but Olight, the Baton 3. With its rechargeable light, I figured that if we're going to have all of this, unreliable generator power and wind and solar generated power on the grid, I better have a good flashlight just in case. Or maybe I need about 10 flashlights just in case I can hand out to friends. that kind of thing. Let me go to Bob Hayworth. Hey, Bob, how are you doing this morning? What's on your mind?
Well, I'm doing pretty well, but I got a bit of a pebble here. That
What's
I
that?
Run by you.
What's that?
Well, last Wednesday, you had a caller who told us about the city council meeting that night.
Yes.
And suggested we go down there and rail on them about the 20-mile speed limit.
Yes.
In downtown and so forth.
And you were the only one that showed up to talk about that, aren't you?
Well, sadly, I was. I went there early thinking that, I'm going to get in line to be a speaker, and I was the only one. So what happened to everybody? Even the guy that called in that day wasn't there.
The point being, though, is that there wasn't an official, groundswell that everyone was going to go that night. We were just saying, hey, they're swearing people in, and this is the night. This is something which is, it took a long time to get to here, to this point here, Bob. And it's going, and what I would do is, you have a lot of friends. I would start getting people involved and organize on something like that. If you really want to get, it's going to take some collective force. Not just a bunch of individuals on this, okay?
Yeah, I guess that's so, but being the only one there to talk about it was like, well, ho-hum, one guy, no big deal.
And that makes it very easy for them to ignore you, and I hope they don't, because you would think, though, with 5,000 or 6,000 of those tickets having been written, those citations, that there would be a little more reaction. But I don't know, maybe people are feeling beaten down by the system, and they're thinking that there's no point in them acting. And I don't want them to think that, but you do have to act. You must react to that rather than just calling talk radio. I don't mind people calling talk radio, but you do have to do something. Let me go to Ryan. Hello, Ryan. Welcome.
Hey, Bill. My pebble is the BLM that does not care about their land. I actually spoke with a guy from BLM yesterday regarding all of the dead trees behind my property. He said that he could sell me a wood permit, and he'd be more than happy to sell me a permit and let me cut the trees off my fence line. But that's all he could do.
So he wouldn't help you reduce fire. He would just sell you permits so that you could reduce the fire danger, right?
Yeah. And I have 63 acres. I have my own trees I need to deal with, not their dang trees.
Because if their dang trees burn, their budget goes up because they get a firefighting budget, right?
Yep.
Isn't that an interesting perverse incentive that we have in our system now?
And how ODF can create a map of my property, which they have never been on, but they sure know a lot about my property, but don't care about the BLM property that's causing the problem.
Yeah. And that's another reason, though, why I would highly suggest going to Senator Jeff Golden's town hall, 6:15 on... 5:15 is when happening on Thursday.
Yeah, I called his office yesterday. I'm going to call it again. I'm going to call ODF. Sounds like the fire marshal needs to be called as well because, they were involved with this whole map.
All right. Very good. Good luck on that one. Let me go to David. David's in the Bay Area. You wanted to talk about the housing crisis. I'd be interested to hear your perspective here. There's a lot of talk about, the housing affordability issues and other things here, David. Go ahead.
Yeah, morning, Bill, and Oregon. I'm down in San Francisco.
Certainly have an affordability problem, that's for sure.
Oh, we've had one for 30 years.
Oh, I know, long time.
It's been insane out here, and so there are various scams that are going on. San Francisco in particular, there are all of these condos that are being bought up by the rich of the world, and they would like to have a San Francisco apartment. They like to have 10 San Francisco apartments, and they keep them empty. And it's shameful. United Way came up with a study a few years ago, 2 years ago, and it shows how many empty units there are in California, which is about 5 to 1. Five empty units for every homeless person.
Really?
But on the the United Way. I could post it up on the KMEB.
Yeah, please send me an email link to that, David. I would love to see that. That's really interesting. Here is the challenge, though, that probably the San Francisco condos that that wealthy folks are buying are probably not. You know, homeless wouldn't really qualify. Probably be able to rent that because there's usually some pathologies in there too, whether it's drug addiction or other issues. Wouldn't you agree on that? I mean,
not at all. I mean, when I first moved here, I got one of those dopey telephone jobs down in the financial district, and my boss was like a 60-year-old woman who was like always dressed like she was straight out of Macy's, and apparently she was living in her van out near the ocean and had been for years because she couldn't afford to. The real estate prices had gotten so insane.
Yeah, well, they're insanely priced, I think, because of the huge demand for it and a lot of liquidity from people looking. Well, it's kind of a, it could be foreign money laundering, too, going on here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what I was leading up to.
Oh, okay.
Now, there's one other layer of it. If you take the word real page, run it together, and then do just a Google search of real page, and then you could add the word FBI investigation of real page. It turns out that this is a software that's used by realtors. And by the way, that United Way thing found that there were as many as 118 empty units for every homeless person in Detroit. 118 empties. California was only 5 to 1. This is 118 to 1 in Detroit.
Yeah, are those actually legitimate homes and not just empty homes that are kind of deteriorating and empty in Detroit? Just curious.
Well, it
sounds a little odd. You can understand my suspicion on that.
I'll send you the United Way study. I mean, it's amazing, but this real page is even uglier.
And that's the one in that software. I think I've read about that, in which it has landlords getting their rent up, right? It evaluates the markets in real terms, right?
And it's a software ostensibly, what zip code, what's the average price of rent in a given zip code. Well, this app automatically tacks on a minimum of $100 per zip code and as much as $700. So a range of $100 to $700 a month more in rent just by this phony app. And guess who it's owned by? Harlan Crow. The guy that's given Clarence Thomas all of this fat money.
Oh.
And even worse is just the other day I was calling an NPR show back east, and this lawyer who was working with housing for the homeless, and I raised this issue about the Real app or the Real Page app, and he said, yeah, I'm very familiar with it. They've got, I'm trying to think of the state that they're in, it might have been Georgia, and he was saying that the housing authority has been forced into using it.
You know something, David? You make me want to find out more about that, and send me that information, BillTheBillMeyerShow.com, and then I'm going to see if I can get someone. Harlan Crow, just being associated with Clarence Thomas is not, I don't think... he's bought him a lot of vacations. He's declared it, et cetera, et cetera. We can agree or disagree on that. Perfectly legal to do. I don't think it's there's been no undue influence with how the Real app has been treated because it hasn't been sued yet, from what I understand. But maybe it needs to be. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. And I'm almost out of time here because you got other things going on too. Hi, good morning and welcome. Pebble in your shoe.
Welcome,
Tuesday.
Bill.
Hey,
this is Miner Dave.
Yeah, Dave. What's up?
I wanted to say is with the diversion of the money from, you know, that bond I was telling you about yesterday.
Yeah, that was Proposition 1 in California, which was designed to actually help build water supplies. And instead, they used the money to take out the dams. About $250 million, from what I recall.
Yeah, well, that right there is called the constructive trust of fraud.
Hmm.
And that's considered unjust enrichment. And though,
unjust enrichment of who, though?
The unjust enrichment of removing the dams.
Well, who was enriched by that?
The taxpayers for that bond.
I don't understand. Okay, who's the victim?
The victim are the people that just got their house burned down.
Okay, well, understand what I'm saying, though, is that, all right, you say constructive fraud, but this is constructive fraud that both Oregon and California agreed to, and I can't imagine that you're only the first person that has thought this up, that they use money. From what I recall, there were other. Wasn't the fellow in Northern California? Didn't he try to sue over this, and the courts just kicked it away?
He didn't get it. It was dismissed before he could do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm trying to say is that. Because they diverted those funds, that judge could be hauled up in front of that. It goes where from when the diversion was made,
mm-hmm.
back to that, where the diversion's made to go to something else. They've admitted spending $250 million of that money on that dam removal.
Well, wait, maybe they were about restoring water for the fish, and that would be the...
It doesn't matter. They illegally moved the money from a bond from a specific use.
Well, until courts are actually willing to take it and look at it, they will be successful. They are successful. They have gotten away with it, okay?
Yeah, but there's no statute of limitations on it.
Okay, well, get on it. Thanks, Dave. 18 minutes after 8. 770-5633. It is open phones here on the Bill Myers Show on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Kim Komando Digital Update. That'll be coming up.
Stephen Westfall, Inc. is thrilled to announce the winner of their second metal roof giveaway for a well-deserving veteran. After sifting...
Ashland.
823-770-5633. Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Whatever happens to be in your mind, or on your mind, and you'd like to get out of your mind, and on the air here, 770-5633. Hey, tomorrow, I'm looking forward to talking with R.J. What's his name? R.J. Rogers. And he wrote a book which is pretty interesting. He studied the mafia for a lot of years, and it's called The Don, 36 Rules of the Bosses. And given that we have so much of today being sort of like lawfare and lack of rule of law, I don't know, maybe studying the mafia and how they end up getting what they want done, maybe that's something we should all be studying. I must say that I have a fascination with all things mafia and Godfather kind of things. Is still one of my all-time favorite movies, you know? Leave the gun, take the cannoli. What can I say? Let me go to line one here. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Good morning. This is Ranger.
Hi, Ranger. What's on your mind today?
I would really like to see John West run again.
There's a possibility he might, and take a couple of years or more, I think, before they get around to that. I think it's the next election cycle. But he could.
Okay.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
Can somebody suggest it to him? Because I would.
I wouldn't. I don't think you even have to suggest it to it. I would be willing to bet that it's probably crossed his mind more than once. But you have mentioned it on air, okay, Ranger?
I have.
All right.
Yes.
Will do. Thank you for the call. Let me go next to line two. Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Hi. Good morning. Who's this?
Bob.
Yeah. Hi. Who's this?
Bob?
Oh, hi, Bob. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I'm in Grants Pass. My wife saw on Reddit that on the 18th, they're going to have a march against the new city councilors and, Trump. And they're going to have a march that's going to go from...
You know, Bob, I'm having trouble understanding your phone. Are you on a Bluetooth or something like that? You're very mushy.
No, I'm on a regular phone.
Oh, okay. Okay. For whatever reason, I'm just having trouble understanding. So there's going to be a march against the Grants Pass City Council?
protesting Trump and protesting the, all the new city councilors and their agenda and stuff.
Oh, okay. In other words, the Democratic activists are going to be marching.
Yeah. It was on Reddit. My wife found it, and it was sent out through Joe County Democrat newsletter to by email to their people. So I was just thinking that maybe some people in Grants Pass should go down with some Trump signs or something on the 18th.
Are they going to be doing it in front of the council chambers or elsewhere? Or elsewhere.
Go down to the court. Yeah, to the courthouse. They're going from 600 Southeast 7th Street at noon to the courthouse. Maybe if there's people that support Trump and the counselors, they should, get a sign. I think I'll get a sign. Maybe go down there, a Trump sign or something.
Very good. Hey, appreciate it, Pat. Thanks for letting people know about it. And hopefully there will be some other people. Could be sporty. We'll see. We go to line three. Hi, good morning. Pebble in your shoe Tuesday. Who might you be?
Deplorable Patrick, Bill. Good morning.
Hi, DP. What's up?
Hey, I haven't been able to be in tune for the whole program today. I hope I'm not bringing something up that's been brought up before.
Okay.
I heard one time a couple days ago somebody had a YouTube thing. I didn't see it, but I saw the thumbnail, but I didn't watch it. About it's time for the federal government to take over California, because it's come to the point that California, being run so poorly, is a national security problem now. And somehow, I don't know, constitutionally or legislatively, have you heard anything about that?
I heard some rumors about it, and there was talk about taking California. In fact, I think an attorney on air someplace talked about putting California into receivership. I think was what was talked about. Now, I know that cities can go bankrupt. I don't think states can go bankrupt, at least not yet. All right.
I didn't get the idea that it had to do with finances. I think it had to do with security and just shoving aside the mayor and the governor and saying we're federal government's running California now.
I'm not exactly sure what the legal process might be. I think I'm going to have to find someone that might know more about this, because I don't know where the constitutional authority would be there, unless you were talking about the constitutional requirement to provide a Republican form of government, and that California is so incompetent and it is not allowing or not providing a Republican form of government through its incompetence. Maybe there is a loophole there or an angle of attack. But I don't know. It's an interesting theory, though, right?
I would be for it, at least at this point. And I don't have all the information, but I thought maybe you would. And
I don't. But you're going to make me want to look into it, okay? That I promise I will do. Appreciate the call, DP. Let's grab one more call here before news, and then we have open for business on the way here. We'll also have a Diner 62 quiz before we leave at 9, okay? Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Hey, Bill.
Hi.
Bill, this is Kelly out in the Applegate.
Hey, Kelly. How's life there at the reservoir time, huh?
Well, it's good, but I'm a little concerned with our lack of due diligence related to our water storage that's going on in the Applegate Reservoir. So with the rain that came through and the high levels that are right on my property that I look at every day, I drove up to the reservoir to see the levels are at astronomically low position.
Really?
I was overwhelmed. Oh, absolutely. Everyone thinks that the reservoir is filled to the brim because they're letting so much water out. And I called the water master, Siobhan, spoke to him. He gave me all kinds of stories that were at record levels of snowpack and everything else. And I'm just keeping it quick because we have to be concerned about how these guys are managing it. I said, if we don't have an extreme rainy season, we are going to be without water in the summer.
Yeah. Well, if I recall correctly, though, Applegate Reservoir is pretty small, and a little bit of melt can fill it pretty quickly. And I think that might be maybe that's what the water master is concerned about. I'm not defending it because, like I said, I don't know the whole story yet. I might reach out to the water master about this, too. What about the if there's record amounts of snowfall? But the record amounts of snowfall are at very high elevation. That's not around Applegate, is it? Or is it?
That's what I'm saying. I couldn't see it. I said, have you gone outside to look? Someone needs to just go up and take the pictures that I did. When you see it with your eye, the levels, the low levels of this reservoir, you are going to be concerned because they're letting out more water than they're taking in. They said they cannot store until February. That's supposedly some law or whatever.
Oh, maybe they can't. Yeah, that could be.
Yeah, but it's insanity because if we don't have the replacement of water, we are going to be desperately in need of it.
So the assumption, though, is that we're going to get lots of rain in February or March, right? Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a great assumption, but they can't predict what the weather's going to be 2 weeks out of it, let alone 4 months. So.
All right. Hey, Kelly, could you email me some of those pictures that you took, maybe a picture or two, just email it to bill@billmeyershow.com. I'd be curious to see that, okay?
I will, yeah. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. 832 at KMED, 99.3 KBXG. We'll close the open phones for a little bit, but we'll have a few more before the top of the hour. We'll check some news here and more next.
The Best of Southern Oregon magazine, presented by Dusty's Transmissions, is online. To find out who won gold and silver Father and Son Jewelry on Jackson between Riverside and Central, Medford.
Hi, I'm Riley with Rotary Drilling Company, and I'm on KMED.
Diner 62's Real American Quiz, extended through Valentine's Day. Those amazing hot open-faced sandwiches I've been telling you about. You can choose the pot roast sandwich served with mashed taties and brown gravy, or the hot turkey sandwich with mashed potatoes, gravy, and cranberry sauce. It's like a little bit of the holidays hanging on. I think we need the cheeriness from that, okay? And remember, clam chowder is every Friday. So good you'll hear the surf and seagulls. And on top of that, on the weekends, a really tasty special. I've had this. 2 pork chops and eggs, or 8-ounce New York steak and eggs, a special right now on the weekends at Diner 62. And so let's see. We have Peggy. Peggy is here first. Hi, Peggy. How are you doing this morning?
Well, I am doing good, and my mouth is watering.
Oh, yeah. Great food. We know that. Hey, it was today in 1943. Franklin D. Roosevelt became the first president to travel on official business by an airplane. Now, while passenger planes had been around since 1914, when the pioneering aviator Tony Janis captured the world's first commercial airline, or captain, rather, the world's first commercial airline flight, a U.S. president hadn't flown on official business. And by 1955, for the first time, more people in the United States traveled by air than by train. But where was FDR headed in January of 1943? Which area of the world was he going to, Peggy? Was it A, the Philippines? Was it B, Iceland? Was it C, Paris? Was it D, Hawaii? Or was he going to E, North Africa? It's one of those five. Interesting story.
Bill, the phone clicked on, like, C.
All right, Philippines, Iceland, Paris, Hawaii, or North Africa?
Hawaii.
You're saying Hawaii. Great place to go to in January, right? No. I'm sorry.
Okay.
All right. I was hoping for you. Let me go to David. Hello, David. How are you doing this morning?
Fine, thank you. How are you doing?
Doing great. So it's today, 1943. Official U.S. business. FDR is on an airplane. Where did he fly? Philippines, Iceland, Hawaii, or North Africa?
I'm going to say North Africa.
You're going to say North Africa. It's a good day for you.
You're a winner! All right.
Yep, here's the story. He was crossing the Atlantic by air. Roosevelt flew in a Boeing 314 flying boat, and they called that the Dixie Clipper. It was a World War II strategy meeting with Winston Churchill at Casablanca, Morocco, in North Africa. Now, the German U-boats were taking a heavy toll on American boat traffic in the Atlantic, and Roosevelt's advisors reluctantly said, okay, we'll put you on a plane. And Franklin, at a frail 60 years old, he made the arduous 17,000-mile round trip. And let me tell you, it was a lot slower in those days. Can you imagine that, David, on that?
I bet.
Yeah. This is the route. Here's the backstory. These are always the interesting parts about it. The secret and circuitous journey started January 11th. The plane stopped several times over 4 days to refuel and for the passengers to rest. Roosevelt and his posse left Florida. They touched down in the Caribbean, continued down the southern coast of South America to Brazil. Then they flew across the Atlantic to Gambia. They got to Casablanca 3 days later, January 14th. After a successful meeting with Churchill, as well as some sightseeing and visits to the troops, Roosevelt headed back, retraced the routes, celebrating his route, rather, celebrating his 61st birthday somewhere over Haiti. So I don't think it was an incredibly luxurious trip or a fun trip in those days, but needless to say, that's the history.
No.
You're going to Diner 62. You hang on. We're going to have some fun. Let me get your address, and we'll send it out to you. We'll have another one tomorrow here on KMED.
You're invited to experience Southern Oregon.
Stocks are slightly lower after a light inflation report. That's your money now.
This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
I'm so glad you're here, too. Time for some emails of the day. Emails of the day, and those are sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson at Central Point Family Dentistry. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. Pretty easy to find, too. You just go to Freeman Way in Central Point off of Pine. You head up the road, and there's the Mazatlan Mexican restaurant. You go past McDonald's, Mazatlan's, and then there's Dr. Steve there. It's before you get to the Albertsons parking lot in that neighborhood of Central Point. Okay? Okay. And by the way, over there at Central Point Family Dentistry, centralpointfamilydentistry.com, they have an in-house lab now for their crowns. So there's the possibility you could have while you wait crowns. You need a crown, get the tooth prepped, and then they go there and process a crown on their milling machine. It's really fascinating stuff there. That's at centralpointfamilydentistry.com. Email of the day is going to be anonymous for now here. It says, Bill, I live in Weimar. I've received the Department of Forestry mailing that determines that I live in a high hazard zone within the wildland-urban interface. Notably, the envelope I got has a very official-looking certified mail printed at top, but I didn't have to sign for this piece of mail as it was in my post office box. I've looked through the certified mail criteria on the postal office page and did not see a circumstance where a person would not have to sign for a certified mail. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think the Postal Service should allow the Department of Forestry to send out certified mail if they are not paying the bill. And I'm sure that money would be better spent on other firefighting programs. But anyway, as I stated, I may be wrong. If so, please educate me. Don't know? I'll see if I can find out. Thank you very much. Leslie writes in here, Bill, fire control in hilly areas. You lived in Naples for 3 years. This area has hills and valleys. The people control the grasses in the city by running goats and sheep on the hill. Goats and sheep, rather, not sheeps. But they are very good at clearing the area to prevent fires. Yeah, that works, right? Nature's lawnmowers. Then Butch says, so we have all these folks headed to L.A. to put out fires with what? No water. Then I heard that all the vehicles had to stop in Sacramento to be inspected for compliance to the California religion. What a day. Yeah, there's some controversy about that. Some are saying it had to do with emissions. That's not true from what I can understand. Others are saying, like Mr. Outdoors, is that it's about the equipment inspection for firefighting. I'm still not sure, but I appreciate you emailing Bill at BillMyersShow.com.